the right wing, just like the left wing, responds to the political times. So when the presidency of Barack Obama started, there was a feeling on the extreme right that there would be a incursion in that rights to the Second Amendment would be you know, eaten away at. And so that in of itself tends to always be a catalyst for right-wing expansion and recruitment. That the Second Amendment is going to be taken away from you. The government's going to come for your guns. We saw in the 1990s the perception of the overreach of the government at incidents like Ruby Ridge and Waco. That brought a rise to the right wing in the 1990s.
What's the difference between then and now?
The difference we have today is that the rise of the right wing, or in the movements of the left wing, is really being spread through internet capabilities, social media. So unlike the 1990s, where it was all person-to-person communication, the ability to communicate in encrypted apps and through just basic social media has expanded the abilities for recruitment.
What were some of these groups that changed their tactics and sort of revolutionized the way this was done?
In 2015, 2016, there were groups such as the alt-right and the Identity Europa that targeted college students, college-aged white males, and to try and bring them into the fold. And you'll see, because of the events in Charlottesville, that their efforts actually worked. They brought a lot more people into the movement, and it was done through social media, through blog postings and podcasts that were all done on right-wing extremist platforms. So
if you look at the difference between now and the 1990s or any other rise in right-wing extremism, what is the catalyst right now?
Well, I think we need to learn the history, or talk about the history of the right-wing extremist movements. And in the 1990s, they were built on the following of the 1980s, actually back to the 60s and 70s, where the left wing was the predominant violent actors, the Weather Underground and groups like that. And then, you know, that was following the Vietnam War. We get into the 80s, we have a very bad economy at the time, and people were out of work and were looking to blame somebody other than themselves for their problems. And the government routinely is that the other that is blamed. There were incidents at Ruby Ridge and Waco that the right-wing extremists believed was an overreach of the government's authorities. So those types of things spurred the rise in right-wing extremism in the 1990s. Moving forward to 2021, we are in the middle of a pandemic. The economy is having serious problems. People are out of work. We just got a new president that people believe, again, that there's going to be an overreach into the Second Amendment. People believe they're going to come for their guns. The same type of rhetoric has been portrayed, the difference being that now it can be done online, through social media, on encrypted apps, all these different places where the message can be put out to thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Add into that the different conspiracy theories that are out there, QAnon being one of the most famous at the time now. But those people are going to be falling off from the QAnon, and many of them, of the extreme of those extreme, will go to right-wing groups that are welcoming them because, you know, they feel that they're more like-minded than not. And then you throw in groups like the Boogaloo Boys that are actually more anarchists than they are right-wing, but they're just anti-government, anti-police. You're seeing, sadly, we're seeing more of the anti-police activity taking place across the country, and groups like the Boogaloo Boys will be allied with those missions. And it's not because they ally with the Black Lives Matters, it's because they ally with the anti-police. So it really is the perfect storm, and the social media has just been the gasoline poured onto a fire.
Tom O'Connor, former FBI agent and principal consultant at FedSquared Consulting, J.J. Green, WTOP News.